Good morning. Today's reading is taken from Matthew 26, 1 to 35. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise a riot may occur among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and said, why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you bother this woman? For she has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to a certain man and said to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, surely not I, Lord. And he answered, he who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go, just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And Judas, who was betraying him, said, surely it is not I, Rabbi. Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you, that this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. Amen. So today I'd like to focus on the bad guys from the reading. So we have the people who are scheming to kill Jesus. And then we have Peter and all the disciples who would betray Jesus due to weaknesses. And then we also have Judas who betray Jesus because money. And I'm doing this because through the bad guys from the Bible, we can see God's judgment as well as God's grace. And it's also because then I can so identify with the bad guys because I'm just one of the sinners. Since very small, I knew full well that I'm very capable of doing evil things. I grew up in a rural village where everybody is an open book to each other. And because of that environment, I got to see the best sides of human beings, but at the same time, the uncovered best sides of human being as well. Then I remember when I was in primary school, early years of my primary school, I once joined the village in mocking a poor woman who has lost her mind because of domestic abuse. And I had no idea why I did that, but just because everyone was doing that, so I also joined in. And so years later, during a house church session, when my house church leaders asked me, "Oh, do you think you will ever join the crowd in stoning a woman?" Then I honestly just said, "I might, because of what I have done in the past." And then my house church leaders, they were so shocked, and they wanted to baptize me again. So since very small, I've known that I had these evil desires within me to just do bad things. And I've also known that it's actually quite common in every human being that we just have this tendency to do bad things. And then, all these years, I think I've formed a routine. How to combat my evil desires when it happens, and when I have done things, how do I start all over again to make sure that I'm improving and then I'm not really falling to my desires to do things unchecked. So the first thing is just to be honest with yourself. Like one of the sins that I struggled the most in the past, maybe not in recent years, is jealousy. So sometimes then I just dislike a person for no reasons, or then I will make up excuses for myself and say, "Oh, it's because she's mean, she's rude, and then she's not a good person." But if I really ask myself and I really answer honestly, then I knew that I was just because I was jealous of that girl. So I was making up excuses to justify my jealousy. And then the second step is to ask deeper, address the root cause. Then ask myself, am I responding disproportionately to something? Am I overcompensating for the past circumstances, which have long changed? So then I figure it's so easy of me to get jealous because of a lack of parental attention, affirmation, and love. Then I ask myself, am I not assured of everybody's love around me now? Am I not assured of my parents' love towards me after all these years? And then I would know that, actually, I'm overcompensating for the past when my parents didn't give me attention. But that has changed already. So I really do not have to have this response anymore. When I see someone is doing well. And then the third thing is to constantly keep yourself under check. I think we can achieve this by having a consistent prayer life, by reading the Bible regularly, and by attending church. I like to emphasize this one because even though sometimes the sermons do not speak to you, or the worship songs don't really ring a bell with you, we should still go regularly because we set aside a time for God to intervene and to speak to us. And then you never know how God is going to speak to you. Then maybe on that day, God is going to speak to you through in the meet and chat time, in the 1 minute and a half. Then you just happen to bless somebody on that day, you happen to be blessed as well. And then another way to keep yourself under check is to allow people to speak into your life. I think we should show more appreciation to people who will risk our offense to speak to us, to confront us. I'm not saying that everybody has a free license to mind other people's business. And most of the times, we really should just shut up and respect boundaries. But when people do come to speak to us, I think we can give them some the benefit of the doubt and then assume good intentions and then see whether there's any truth in whatever they say, even though they may have said it in an ungraceful way or in just a abrupt way. But like, see whether there's any truth to that. And then the next step is forgive myself because God has forgiven me. And then I think the most hopeful character, the most hopeful bad guy from this reading is Peter, because we know even though he has fallen, but afterwards, due to God's grace and also due to his efforts, then he's glorified. And so I think the possibility of starting anew again will give us the hope. And this hope will fuel our attempts to change. And then the last thing is just to change and keep changing. And then even though we are fully aware of how bad a person that we can all become if unchecked, but I think so God is just and fair, and then God will be with us and give us the strength to be a good person if we really try.
Thank you. I'd like to invite everyone up. We'll move into our time of corporate prayer. If you could grab a chair for yourself. That's probably the best. Just grab one chair for yourself. No need to grab for others. Otherwise, our circle gets too unnecessarily big. Alright, it looks like Chow's gonna lead the prayer time then. That's like the Sermon on the Mount now. Okay. Let's pray. Just from Manwa sharing when she shared about how she joined the crowd. I think, and she pointed out the bad guys. The Pharisee, the Judas, and Peter. But really, that's us, right? You know, all of us are sinners. We have things going on in our heart. Maybe we're really good at hiding it, but it's there. So let's just humble ourselves before the Lord, acknowledge that we're in need of a Savior, and we're no different from anyone else. Pray for God to bring His transformation into our hearts and even the way we live our lives. If we could pray for Isaac, and also pray for Hazel, pray for their cancer, that they would be healed, for their treatment, for their families, for hope. Let's cover our brother and sister. Pray for Addy and also Anna. Addy, that she could go home for her kidneys, for the training that Audrey and Marcus need to receive. Also pray for Anna, that's Sam and Fiona's daughter. She's pregnant with Anna right now. Pray for the artery to enlarge, for the hole in the heart to be filled, and for the heart, the one of the four quadrants of the heart, for a miracle, for it to grow and be a whole heart. Let's pray. Let's take some time. Let's pray for our families. Maybe it could be your children, your spouse, but also our parents. Let's pray for their health and also for their relationship with God. Let's pray for our families. Let's also pray for our work, just our environment, for God to touch our workplace, that also for ourselves to be the salt and the light, to be bold, to be discerning of opportunities, to share and join in His work. Let's pray for our work. Is there any personal prayer requests that you'd like to share, and we can just pray for you as a group today? Any any requests.